Kilgore, Petaluma, California, June 11, 1902. Dear Brother Kilgore, we are in the midst of the Petaluma camp meeting. There are about 200 of our people assembled, and they are enjoying many blessings. Elders Jones Loughborough Brown and Brethren Sadler and Richards are carrying the burdens of the meetings. Brother Beardsley helps with the singing. We drove across the country from St. Helena. Sister Sarah Peck, her mother, Willie, and myself rode over in my old covered carriage, which years ago I sold to Dr. Kellogg, and which he sent to me as a present about a year ago. Before 4 o'clock in the morning, we were up and in the carriage, all ready to start. We ate our breakfast at about 8:30. By that time we had driven 22 miles. Both teams, ours and the one bringing the luggage, met at the place where we breakfasted, and we enjoyed our short rest and our meal together. We had a wholesome lunch, and we suffered no loss of appetite from our early drive. I was much exhausted when I started, for some weeks I had been losing sleep. I slept part of the time on the way over, for the carriage is one in which I can lean against the side in perfect safety, without fear of falling out. That day we traveled 49 miles. The road is hilly, but in good condition. When we reached the campground, we found that our brethren had provided us with a large 2-story house, in which we are very comfortably situated. All testify that the meetings are excellent. Stirring discourses are given by the brethren, but I cannot attend the meetings, for I hear with an intensity that wears on me more than speaking does. On Sabbath afternoon, I spoke for an hour in the large tent. On Sunday afternoon, I spoke for an hour and a quarter. All the seats in the tent were filled. I felt great intensity of spirit as I presented before the people the necessity of practical godliness in the home life. After the discourse, Brother Beardsley, the one who sang at the General Conference, sang for us. On Monday, I spoke to parents on the subject of child training. An earnest interest seemed to be awakened. In my talk on Sabbath, I appealed to the people to improve the talents entrusted to them by one who has an intense desire that the smallest talent shall be used with a faithfulness that will secure for the possessor a larger trust. I asked them if they would not strive to reach a higher standard. I presented our need of doing this if, as workers together with God, we evangelize the world. Our testimonies must be vitalized by the Spirit's power. The whole vineyard is to be worked. We must pray earnestly and perseveringly for the endowment of the Holy Spirit, taking to the Lord our burden for souls ready to perish. All to whom the truth comes must in turn give to others the messages of warning and invitation, with earnest prayer that the Holy Spirit will accompany the word spoken. Never did the Lord Jesus confine his labors to one place. We read of him that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from beyond Jordan. Matthew 4, verse 23-25. Again we read, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed, and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Luke 4, verse 40-43. Christian missionary work was to be done in all places. The truth was to go from point to point. The disciples were to leave an example of how to establish the chain of truth, link after link. Christ worked as he desired them and all other laborers to work. The towns and cities of Palestine resounded with the truths that fell from his lips. How essential it is that today the truth be proclaimed in the same way. The world is our field of missionary toil. Everywhere the light of truth is to shine forth, that hearts now in the sleep of ignorance may be awakened and converted. In all countries and cities, the gospel is to be proclaimed. The seed of truth must be sown in the soil of the heart in order that it may spring up and bear fruit. God's servants are to labor in places nigh and afar off, going to the regions beyond, ever preparing to embrace a larger circumference. They are to work while the day lasts, for the night cometh, in which no man can work. A Savior uplifted on the cross is to be presented, and from many voices is to be heard the word, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. Churches are to be organized, and plans laid for work to be done by the members of the newly organized churches. This gospel missionary work is to keep reaching out and annexing new territory, enlarging the cultivated portions of the vineyard. The circle is to extend until it belts the world. As workers go forth filled with earnest, happy zeal, thrilling with the love of God, the whole church at home is revived, for the success of the workers is regarded as a subject of deep, personal concern to every member of the church. For what has the history of the work of the disciples been recorded, as they labored with holy zeal, animated and vitalized by the Holy Spirit, if it is not that from this record the Lord's people today shall gain an inspiration to work earnestly for Him? What the Lord did for His people in that time, it is just as essential and more so that He do for His people today. All that the apostles did, every church member today is to do. We are to work with as much more fervor, accompanied by the Holy Spirit in as much greater measure, as the increase of wickedness demands a more decided call to repentance. Everyone on whom is shining the light of present truth is to be stirred with compassion for those who are in darkness. From all believers, in clear, distinct rays, light is to be reflected. The work that the Lord did in Antioch through His delegated messengers, He is waiting to do today. At this time, when the end of all things is at hand, should not the zeal of the church exceed even that of the early church? Zeal for the glory of God moved the disciples to bear witness to the truth with mighty power. Shall not this zeal fire our hearts with a longing to tell the story of redeeming love, of Christ and Him crucified? Should not the power of God be more mightily revealed today than even in the time of the apostles? It was sincere devotion and humble, earnest prayer that brought the disciples into close communion with Christ. They sat together with Him in heavenly places. They realized the greatness of their debt to Him. Shall we be less earnest than they were? Shall we not, by living faith, claim the promises which moved them to the depths of their being to call upon the Lord Jesus for the fulfillment of the word, "Ask, and ye shall receive"? John 16, verse 24. Is not the Spirit of God to come today in answer to earnest, persevering prayer and fill men with power? Is the throne of grace further removed from us than it was from the disciples? Is not God saying today to His praying, trusting, believing workers who are opening the Scriptures to those ignorant of the precious truth they contain, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world"? Matthew 28, verse 20. Shall we not, through the indications of God's providence, hear His voice saying, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them"? Acts 13, verse 2. There certainly are men that the Lord is fitting to stand in their lot and in their place. Brother Kilgore, I thought I ought to stop, but I must write a few lines more. I would encourage you to rise above the mist and fog of unbelief unto the pure atmosphere of Christ's love. To the church in Graysville I send this message: let not your hands be slack. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. By the grace of Christ they were made what they were. By earnest, persevering prayer they obtained the endowment of the Holy Spirit, and then they went forth weighted with the burden of saving souls, filled with zeal to extend the triumphs of the cross. And under their labors many souls were brought from darkness to light, and many churches were raised up. Those who are working for Christ today may reveal the distinguishing excellence revealed by these earnest workers. God is just as ready to give power to his servants in 1902 as he was to give power to Paul and Barnabas. Let us show that we are workers together with God. Let us be as true as steel to principle. No one can stay at home in ease, living only for self, without becoming selfish. We must be representatives of Christ if we would be truly happy. The earnest, united prayers of faith will inspire Christ-like zeal.
God will raise up a Paul and a Barnabas for the church that is worthy of such helpers. True missionary workers will find that the Holy Spirit is working on minds, raising up laborers full of faith and patience and zeal to take the place of some who will fall away. We need more keen, sanctified discernment. We need to cherish the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. My brother, may the Lord increase your faith and baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Be strong in the Lord. Yea, be strong.